From Entrepreneur Media, this is Problem Solvers, a show in which entrepreneurs do what entrepreneurs do best, solve unexpected problems in their business.
We were completely wrong.
And I'm just like, it's not selling.
It was like, we have to start from scratch.
I'm Jason Pfeiffer, the editor-in-chief of Entrepreneur Magazine.
How do you sell yourself? That question is as big or small as you want to make it. I mean, of course, there's big ways to think about this, big strategies, and then there are also really small ways. How do you describe yourself or your company or your product or your service? What do you put on your website? What do you offer people so that they understand what you do? I think about this quite a lot for myself, to be honest, and I know that other people in similar roles to mine, communicators, coaches, writers, and so on, that they do too. In fact, recently I was talking to my friend Cassie Underwood, who is a writer and a coach and more, about what it is that she does and how she talks about herself. And she's tried all sorts of different things, just like I have. And so anyway, it was interesting. I had her introduce herself on mic, and here's what she said.
My name is Cassie Underwood. I am a spiritual teacher and author, and I teach people how to release fear.
I teach people how to release fear. I love that. You know what I love about that? It is so value forward. It is broadcasting exactly what it is that she will do for you. And if you are someone who feels burdened by fear, then you hear that and you're immediately like, oh, that's what you do? Well, that's what I need. It's just such a connection. It's so crisp. And anyway, the reason that I'm bringing all of this up is because I notice over and over again that people are, for whatever reason, not putting themselves forward as forcefully and as thoughtfully as they could. And it comes down to something as simple as, like, for example, not making your email address available. So many people that I try to work with do not make their email addresses available, and it drives me absolutely crazy. And so I wrote a column about it. It's in the July-August 2019 issue of Entrepreneur Magazine. That's the one with Shaq on the cover. And it is my plea for people to think more deeply about how you present yourself and the ways that you can build a bridge to you. We keep chasing people, but we also need to be able to have people come to us. So here's what I want to do on this episode of Problem Solvers. I'm going to read you my column, the column from the magazine, my plea for people to put themselves out there. And then Cassie and I are going to have a conversation about fear and how fear holds people back from really putting themselves out there. She's got a lot of great prescriptions for things that you can do right now. Well, right after you listen to this podcast anyway. And so here we go. Well, right after the break, my column, and then Cassie, overcoming fear on a journey to self-promotion. And we'll get into it all right after the break. If you don't know your numbers, you don't know your business. And yeah, that sounds obvious, but listeners of this show know that even the smartest entrepreneurs can fall victim to this. As their businesses grow, they add more and more systems to track everything. An accounting system, a sales system, an inventory system, and so on. And soon it's a big, inefficient mess and takes too much time and too many resources, and important information gets lost. So, what's the solution? Introducing NetSuite by Oracle, the business management software that handles every aspect of your business in an easy-to-use cloud platform, giving you the visibility and control you need to grow. With NetSuite, you save time, money, and unneeded headaches by managing sales, finance, and accounting, orders, and HR instantly right from your desktop or phone. That is why NetSuite is the world's number one cloud business system. And right now, NetSuite is offering listeners of this show some valuable insights with a free guide. It's called 7 Key Strategies to Grow Your Profits, and you can get it at netsuite.com/problem solvers. Again, that's netsuite.com/problem solvers to download your free guide, 7 Key Strategies to Grow Your Profits. netsuite.com/problem solvers. And now our second sponsor. Entrepreneurs have to do things they don't want to do. That's life, right? Gotta take those red-eye flights and work on a pitch deck at 2 a.m. and spend a long dinner with clients you don't really like and get life insurance. But hey, every entrepreneur also has to learn to delegate what they hate. And while you can't delegate all the grunt work, you can definitely delegate life insurance shopping. just make Policy Genius do the work. It's the easy way to shop for life insurance online. In just 2 minutes, you can compare quotes from top insurers to find your best price. And once you apply, the Policy Genius team handles all the paperwork and red tape. They can also help you find home insurance, auto insurance, and disability insurance. So, if you need life insurance but simply have too much else to do, and of course you do, head to policygenius.com. It is the easy way to compare all the top insurers and find the best value for you. Policy Genius. Delegate what you hate, especially if you hate getting life insurance. All right, we're back. So first, again, here's my column from the July-August 2019 issue of Entrepreneur Magazine. I won't name names, but there's someone missing from this issue of Entrepreneur. I'd found a piece they'd written and liked their work and planned to assign them a story for the magazine, but I couldn't find their email address online. They have no website. Their social media channels offer no way to get in touch. So I moved along to someone else instead. And why'd I give up so fast? Because the way I see it, that person's job is to make themselves easy to work with. And I'm not going to spend my time doing someone else's job for them. I hope this little story strikes fear into the hearts of many. Consider it. Right now, as you listen to this podcast, someone out there might be thinking about hiring you, partnering with you, or consulting with you. But maybe they can't because they don't know how to get in touch, or because they want to learn more about your work but can't, or because they can't tell if you're trustworthy. And so they, like me, might just move along as well. I've run into this problem so many times. Writers, which is to say the vendors I used most in my business, often put no effort into self-promotion. And this problem goes far beyond my own industry. I posted about my frustration about this on LinkedIn, and I heard the same complaint from people in vastly different fields. For example, a woman at American Whiskey Magazine said she struggles to contact craft distilleries. Quote, they're so focused on making spirits that they don't think about getting their names out there, end quote. That's what she wrote. Another person said it happens often with web designers. They build websites for everyone but themselves. Although that puts them in good company, because according to one count, only a dismal 4% of people have personal sites. Now, I don't mean to make this an advertisement for websites. It's about something much bigger. It's about mindset. If you're not thinking about something as simple as whether people can find your email address, then you're probably not thinking granularly enough about your entire operation. Business is about building bridges, but in ways large and small, we often forget to build the bridges to ourselves. We are so busy chasing people that we also forget to attract them. And in doing so, we overlook some of the smallest, simplest, and ultimately most critical ways to increase our chances of success. Now, we here at Entrepreneur, we are guilty of this too. Not long ago, for example, we created a service called Ask an Expert, where entrepreneurs can book one-on-one video consultations with a range of experts. And I'm on there, by the way. You can visit entrepreneur.com/expert. We thought our site did a good job of selling the service, but then one of our experts, digital marketing whiz Terry Rice, who listens to this podcast, so shout out to Terry, he noticed that we'd included no testimonials. We'd created a personalized service, but quoted zero people who experienced and vouched for it. What an oversight. We fixed it right away. Then, once our eyes had been opened to our site's shortcomings, we fixed a whole bunch of other problems as well. I've learned that no matter how valuable you think you are, there's always another way to become more valuable. And here's the simplest way that I've found to achieve that. Step back and ask yourself, what else would convince someone to work with me? The most important word there is else. You're already doing something, of course, but you could do more. I guarantee you could do more. So what small detail would put someone at ease? What tiny gesture would make their journey just a little easier? What little thing sets you apart? I'll suggest a first step. If your email address isn't easy to find, fix that. Now, what else? Okay, so that's the column. And after Cassie and I were chatting about how we have figured out how to sell ourselves, I sent her that column and I asked her to hop on mic with me and just talk through some of the challenges that are buried deep inside of this problem. So here's our conversation. Okay, Cassie, so you read my column, which is about why people don't dive into the very, very small details that can matter so much when they are out there trying to sell themselves. And I wonder if you think that one of the reasons why people do this is because even if they're in business, even if they're trying to put themselves out there for one reason or another, they're uncomfortable doing it because there's a natural discomfort in self-promotion. And if do you think that that is leading people to just not think through every single way that they can put themselves out there?
I do. I think that that's part of it. I know I was raised in a place where I was taught not to self-promote. And that it was like there was something ethically or morally wrong with self-promotion. So I found it really uncomfortable. I thought it was kind of sleazy, you know, and people would think, what would people think of me if I started promoting myself or talking about my work or charging money, you know? And so I think that there is a lot of fear around it and a lot of discomfort resulting from the fear. And I think that also you talked about a mindset shift. And I think that that is so important because when you're in business, we're in service. Your life is about being of high service to others. So the work is not about, it's not necessarily about self-promotion. You're just a stand-in for what you're offering to the world. So the work is about shifting from product focus to client or customer focus. So a lot of times it's much more comfortable, for example, for an artist to be obsessed with their art or for the writer to be obsessed with their writings or the inventor to be obsessed with their inventions. But we need to shift to flip the focus to the people we're serving and how our product or service can make their lives better, which means first and foremost that it needs to reach them.
How did you overcome your own concerns about self-promotion?
I did what I teach, which is a fear exercise to release fear. And I start my day every morning by meditating and really plugging into the universe, not to use woo-woo language, but plugging in and getting myself ready each morning, mentally preparing myself to go out there and be of service. And once I flip that focus from I'm afraid to how can I be of service to you? It was much easier to sell my work.
Yeah, we don't get a lot of talk about the universe here on Problem Solvers.
I can't believe it.
But I do like that shift that you're going through there, because what you're doing is you're reframing what you have to offer, not as something that you're pushing upon people, but that is something that is valuable to people. And once it's valuable to people, then, well, of course you want them to know about it. You want to get it in front of them.
Yes. And once you make that shift, you're going to be much more creative in how you get it across to people. And I think one of the most important ways we can get our work across to people is by allowing them to experience it. And that was another big part of my discomfort was, oh my God, what if they experience it and then I've taken their time up and they didn't like it and blah, blah, blah. But ultimately, again, I just got connected to the purpose, which is really to be of service to others. And if people want to experience my work, they can. And I can. And now I think of all the ways that my client or potential client or customer can really get their hands on my work before they invest in it.
So yeah, what does that mean for the average person? I mean, you are doing a lot of speaking, so I think it's probably easier for someone in your position, or frankly, my position, to give someone a taste of what our service is. You can watch it, you can read it, and so on. How do you universalize that idea? You work with clients who I'm sure are in lots of different kinds of businesses. So what does it mean for most people to provide a sample, provide an experience?
Yeah, so one thing I do that's really simple is that my business cards provide a tool on them. So my tool is obviously not universal, but it's just a phrase, which is the way is not hard, but it's very different. And that works because I teach spiritual paradox. But for somebody else in a different business, you could provide a way that somebody could go back to the website and get a free sample or something to give people a taste of it before they purchase it.
So it's like now you're not selling some kind of abstract promise of yourself, but you're saying, here, look, this is something that I've done that I feel proud of, that is complete, that you can make your own decision about.
Exactly. Exactly. But I also think that there's a chance that people, if they're already feeling a little bit nervous about sharing their work or about what they might see as promoting their work, could get afraid of what they're actually, oh no, I have to create something that's going to be a sample, what's the right sample, and all those questions that we ask. But I think that it really could be demystified, because I will say that I spent months coming up with my sample that ended up taking one day to create and wasted a lot of money trying to figure out what I was going to offer as the free sample. So if I could give people homework, it would be to come up with something, one thing today that they could offer on their business card or on their website for free that would allow their potential clients or customers to experience what they offer.
Huh. Can you take me through the journey down the wrong path for you? What were you spending your money on when you were like coming up with the wrong sample?
Yes. Okay. Well, what I was really doing was wasting time thinking that the sample needed to be this long out process to create. So I'll just give you the example from my own business. So I wanted to create for people a five minute morning. What I realized after working with a lot of entrepreneurs is that the one thing, you know, fear is often in the way of doing their best work and putting the work out there, that one thing they could do to diffuse some of that fear is to wake up in the morning and have a 5-minute morning practice. So I wanted to create a video series about this. And I hired a videographer. I spent like 3 months saying, oh, I can't do this now because I don't have time to hire a videographer. And when we finally did, we spent all this money, got my hair blown out, got new outfit, just spent a lot of money on this video shoot. And we got the product back and we couldn't use any of it. It was terrible.
Oh no. What was so bad about it?
It just wasn't the right vibe for what I want to offer my clients. I think that, you know, it came across, there was just something off about it. You guys, you know, when you're something isn't working about what you're doing.
Yeah, it didn't come off as authentic. It came off as a performance.
Yeah, it was way too produced. And because of that, it just was, the whole thing was awkward. But we had a deadline to complete it. And one of my promises to myself is that I meet my deadlines. So I stayed up all night with my assistant and we, that day, sat there. We started in the daytime and we sat there filming from my iPhone, this free morning practice. And we finished it and she edited it and we got it all up within 24 hours. And I was like, wow, we could have done that back in the spring.
Yeah,
right. I could have been using this for months, you know, but lesson learned that it really takes, you don't have to overcomplicate the process. Just choose one thing that you could offer your clients right now or potential clients or customers right now that would give them an experience of what you have to offer.
Yeah, I love that story for a bunch of reasons. So one thing that it makes me think of is Instagram ads. So I've learned in talking to a lot of people that the lower fidelity the ad is in an Instagram story, the better it does because people are used to a casual environment on Instagram stories. And so if you produce this very well designed or well lit or well whatever thing and put it on there, it just looks like an ad. It doesn't belong inside the medium. And you have to remember, and this goes for everything, and this is exactly the problem that you ran into, what is the language that your audience is speaking, or what is it that they are expecting from this particular form of communication? And sometimes doing more is not correct. What you wanted to do was present someone with something that felt authentic and intimate, because I'm sure you wanted your potential clients to feel very close to you, like you're bringing them into your world. And so something that was a little more raw and from your iPhone felt better than something that was highly produced, which maybe would have worked for something else, right? If you were going to produce something for television, then you would have wanted to go through all those steps because at that point, somebody is expecting this highly produced thing that's going to come into their living room. But if you're reaching out in a different way, you need to think about the language of that medium.
Yes, I think that that's perfectly said. And another thing that I often think about is how would I want to receive this if I were on the other end? If I were going to consider using the service or product, how would I want to receive it? And I definitely prefer a more intimate environment. If somebody's going to be teaching me about a morning practice or spirituality or releasing fear or mindset work, I want to feel like they're talking right to me.
Yeah. So Cassie, I feel like you've already given listeners a couple things to do right now, a couple things to ask themselves right now, but let's just offer one more to wrap up. What in the conversations that you've had with people or when you've looked into people's lives and businesses, what is one other thing that they might be overlooking that they could be doing to help connect with other people or bring people closer to them or grow their business or something? The version of that in my column was, if people don't know what your email address is, make damn sure that they can easily find your email address. Is there something that you're seeing that people are often forgetting to do some simple, small thing that's critical and so critical and small that maybe they just overlook it?
Yeah, I think that's such a good question. So, well, first of all, I was blown away by the statistic that 4% of people don't, only 4% of people have websites.
I know, that's crazy, isn't it?
That blew my mind. I feel like almost everybody should have a website. We're all offering something, right?
There was somebody on my team here at Entrepreneur who read my column when I first filed it into our system, who then sent me a Slack message and was like, okay, now I finally need to build a website. And I was like, yeah, I cannot believe you need a website. You're a professional editor. Get a website.
I know. When Roisin got here today, my assistant, I was like, do you have a website? Please tell me you have a website. So yeah, I mean, everybody needs a website. That's first of all. But when you have your website, because I assume most of your listeners will have websites, make sure that there are lots of buttons where people can click to, I make sure there's a button on every page of my website that people can click to join my email list.
Yeah. Right. I actually don't know. I should go and check my own site. I know that there's a pop-up that shows up on the front page, on the homepage. I actually don't know if it shows up on other pages. But yeah, you can never, in a way, you can never bug people too much about that. You think that people would just hate you for it. But in fact, it just drives more subscriptions to your newsletter.
Totally. Absolutely. And in that button or with that button, you can give them an experience. So like to draw on that a little bit more, if you, whatever your product is, you could say like to get 10% off, join the email list, or to read the first chapter of my book, join this email list, like something that will give them a little more of an experience so that they're not just putting in their email list, but they're getting more. So every single step of the way should be more and more and more of what you have to offer.
That's awesome. Cassie, what is your website for people who want to learn more?
Ooh, great question, Jason. My website is www.cassieunderwood.com. That's K-A-S-S-I-U-N-D-E-R-W-O-O-D, like Carrie Underwood.com.
Perfect. Cassie, thank you so much.
Thank you, Jason.
So there it is. Thanks again to Cassie. You know, after listening to that, I think that there are two big questions to ask at the end of this. Number one, what value can you provide people just at all levels, the very beginning, before they've even bought anything? What upfront value can you provide? And then number two, what is holding you back from providing even more? Big questions, huh? And that's our episode. If you like what you heard, please subscribe to Problem Solvers wherever you get your podcasts. We come out with a new episode every Monday morning and you don't want to miss it. And hey, be kind. Pass the show along to an entrepreneur friend who could use a boost. And did you solve a problem that would be good for this show? Let me know about it. Visit my website, jasonfeifer.com, J-A-S-O-N-F-E-I-F-E-R.com, where you can find my contact information and all sorts of other valuable info. Problem Solvers is a production of Entrepreneur Media. Be sure to visit entrepreneur.com for all your entrepreneurship needs. And even better, subscribe to our magazine, which is just full of the smartest entrepreneurs solving the toughest problems. My name is Jason Pfeiffer, the editor-in-chief of Entrepreneur Magazine. Thanks for listening. And hey, let's go solve some problems.